So today it's on Saturday, and we're on There's a Solution chapter. And we finished up last week on page 24. Now, I don't know if they intended it this way. I guess God works in strange ways, but page 24 summarizes our problem, that without God, we're going to drink again, basically is what they're saying. At willpower, nothing in my mind will prevent me from drinking again if I'm an alcoholic, except God, power greater than me. And then the next page is there's a solution. And so you can look at these two pages, the problem and the solution. And then today I want to cover that page on there's a solution, and then I'm going to cover the two pages on Dr. Young and Roland Hazard where we got the solution. And a lot of people wonder, well, why is Roland Hazard and Dr. Young in there's a solution, because that's where we got the solution from Dr. Young. And then we got the program of action from the Oxford group, and we've got the problem from Dr. Silkworth. So nothing in AA came from an alcoholic. We took those three ideas and we synthesized them into a powerful spiritual message on how I find a relationship with my Creator. So it says, there is a solution, and it's in italics, squiggly writing. It doesn't say there are many solutions. It says, there is a solution. Now, there could be other solutions, but there was only one solution that AA offered. And they're not saying that this is the only solution, but if you don't have a solution, this is a solution. So that's where it means this is a solution. If you're on page 24 and that's you, there is a solution for you. It says, almost none of us liked the self-searching, the leveling of our pride, the confession of shortcomings which the process requires for its successful consummation. And Norm's not here today, but he likes to always quote that line. And I noticed a new word in there, liked. They don't ask you what you like in AA. They don't say, do you like this? What do you think about this? This isn't a program for people who want to like something. It's for people who need something. So we may not have liked it, but we needed it. And what did we need? We need to search in ourselves for the things that are blocking me from my Creator, the leveling of my pride. I was talking to Matt Brockstrom yesterday. Pride is the biggest sin we have. It's the biggest thing that separates me from my Creator. And it's in the 12 of 12, I think, John, noticed I mentioned it? In the 12 of 12, he says there's a coin, and it calls it a ruinous coin. And on one side it says fear, and the other side it says pride. And whenever my pride is threatened with my fears related, bad things happen. Confession of my shortcomings, confession of the things that I'm short of. Now, what am I short of? We have the spiritual checklist, and anybody need one of these? I got extras. And I'm short of everything that's the characteristic of God's will. And I have too much of the personality characteristics of self-will. And I have to confess the shortcomings to be able to admit that they're killing me and to want to have them removed, which the process requires for its successful consummation. Well, consummation, you can use in a lot of terms, right? Consummate the marriage, consummate your salvation through the big book. And so you have to finish this. You have to complete this process. Half measures will do us nothing. But here's a paragraph, and it starts with but. So I've always had trouble kind of reading it. But we saw. So they saw that this really worked in other people. And hopefully that's what you see today. When you come to AA, is you see that this has worked in other people. So you may want to do this. Now, if it's never worked in other people, why would you want to do it? So our meetings we talked about Sunday night are supposed to be our experience on how we came to the solution and were able to carry it to other people. And it says, we had come to believe in the hopelessness and futility of life. And this term, come to believe, how do you come to believe in the hopelessness and futility of life as you've been living it? You know, what's the process? Well, we call that hitting bottom. Hitting bottom isn't an external thing. It's when I could see, I believed in the hopelessness and futility of my life as I was living it, and I knew I had no power to change it. And so I remember getting on my knees and I just said, God, just help me and save me. I couldn't go on anymore. And who doesn't come to believe in the hopelessness of futility of life as they've been living it? What alcoholics don't do that? You'd say, well, they should all do that. Well, they don't, because they don't want to work the steps. And why? Because they're constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. We read that every meeting, and I always wondered what that meant. But I think it means this. Some people are constitutionally incapable of coming to see the hopelessness and futility of their life as they're living it. And they still think they got a plan. They still have moral and philosophical convictions, right, Eric? They still think it's not that bad or there's some way out. But hopeless means there's no hope for me without God. And so unless you get that, you're not going to move on. Now, I think some people get it and they have it for a week or a month, but then the ego rebuilds very quickly. And they say, well, gee, I probably overreacted. You know, it's probably not that bad. And so the ego is really a fragile thing to defeat the ego. The beginning is when you can really see it, and then working the steps, getting into the AA, going to the meetings, working with someone, keeps your ego defeated enough as you do the process of taking the action. So it says, if you believe in your hopelessness and futility of life as they've been living it, remember, what is the foreword to first edition, the first thing they said in the first paragraph? We have a hopeless condition of mind and body, and we had recovered from it. And we're going to show you specifically what we did. That's the first words that are given to the public in this book, AA, when it was written in 1939. So therefore, when we're approached with whom the problem has been solved, there's nothing left for us but to pick up the simple kit of spiritual tools laid at our feet. Now, they use that term several times in the big book, the simple kit of spiritual tools. Those are the steps. Now, there's nothing left. If you're completely defeated, you're going to pick up the spiritual tools. If you're not completely defeated, you're going to look at them. And these spiritual tools are very interesting, because the spiritual tools have to be plugged in. They don't work if they're just sitting. They have to be plugged into a socket. Now, there are two sockets, and one is the God, and one is me. And so if I take these spiritual tools, it only works if I put them in the right socket. And if I put them in the God socket, they work. But then you know what? I'll pull it out, and I put it in the Michael socket, and then things turn to crap again. So I have to pull it out and put it in the God socket. Now, you'll want to do that when you realize that you're doomed without God and you can't manage your own life. Now, who doesn't pick up the spiritual kit of simple tools? You see them all the time. You work with new people, you'll see it enough. They're very enthusiastic, and then they kind of drift, and they don't want to follow through on it. And so it's a gift when you can see that. And so what did they find by using the spiritual kit of tools? They found much of heaven, and they've been rocketed into a fourth dimension of existence of which we had not even dreamed. Now, I wrote some things, and I tried to figure out, what is the fourth dimension of existence? Notice you're rocketed into it. You don't kind of dance your way into it. You know, you're rocketed into it because you found much of heaven. To me, heaven is being with God in the now. It may not be scriptural, but it's my way of seeing heaven is when I'm in the God, with God right now in the moment, and I'm not in me. And then I have peace and serenity. And we're rocketed into that. And I think the fourth dimension of existence is, I wrote, God is the fourth dimension. We're rocketed into this dimension of God, the world of the spirit. We talk about that on page 84. And then I wrote, the ego can't exist in the fourth dimension. So you're in a dimension where your ego doesn't have power. Isn't that great? Now, it only has power if we let go of it and seek God. And I said, we have unity with God. Our character defects don't exist in the fourth dimension. I don't know if that's true, and I just some thoughts I had. I probably read this page in meetings, I don't know, 60 times. Every time I do it, I see something new. And he doesn't go into it, but it's a good place. The fourth dimension is a good place, of which they had not even dreamed. Does anybody feel that they're in a good place today that they could never dream that they could have been in when they came in? See, I think people are nodding and shaking their heads. It's true for me. And here, now we're going to have the great fact of AA. You could, I don't think I've ever heard this at a meeting, or the central fact of AA. The great fact is just this and nothing less, that we have had deep and effective spiritual experiences. And these spiritual experiences, what are they? It says you have revolutionized your whole attitude towards life, toward our fellows, and towards God's universe. Revolutionized my whole attitude. Well, it talks about on page 77, we're putting our lives in order, right? But it says this is not all we're doing here. We want to be fit ourselves spiritually to serve God and others. But I have to put myself, my life in order, and that's revolutionizing my whole attitude towards life, my fellows, and towards God. I change my view towards God as God's the director. And I'm to follow him. I'm to be part of God's universe with him and not separate. And towards my fellow human beings, we do that with 8 and 9, and towards our mind and our life in steps 4 through 7. So this is a great fact that they have. And you could ask yourself if you had this. Do you have a change in your attitude towards life, towards God, and towards your fellow people? And then they have the central fact is of our lives today is the absolute certainty. Notice they don't mince any words here. The absolute certainty that my Creator has entered into my hearts and lives in a way which is indeed miraculous. And notice they use heart, not mind, because we don't want to pay attention to our mind anymore, our thinking. And we want God to enter into our hearts. And then if he's in my heart, then I know he's there and I can react to him and get his direction and guidance. And it is miraculous, isn't it? Anybody sitting today, I remember where Eric was in 2010. And I loved him then, I love him today, and look where he is. When I think back to where I was when I surrendered and got down on my knees, I couldn't believe the changes that have happened to me. I couldn't have even imagined. And here it is, he has commenced to accomplish those things for us which we could never do by ourselves. And we talk about that at the end of the ninth step promises. And so if we have God entering into my heart and my life, what does it look like? I'm accomplishing those things which I could never do by myself. And so I wrote, it says he's commenced. That means he's begun. So then I wrote, how do we continue once he's done that? Well, if we stop doing the steps, he commenced, but then we move away and we continue like in step 10, right? In step 11, through prayer, meditation, inventory, we continue this process all the time so he can continue to accomplish things I couldn't do for myself. And remember, it says when we're in fit spiritual condition, how we react sanely to alcohol, we react in a fit spiritual condition, we see things differently. We don't get angry and fearful like we used to. It says if you're seriously alcoholic as we were, notice they say seriously alcoholic. Well, when are you a seriously alcoholic? Are there stages? Are you alcoholic one day and seriously alcoholic the next? I think you're seriously alcoholic when you realize it. You know, when you realize this hopelessness of your condition of mind and body, and you realize that this is serious, like Eric said, you know, drinking vodka in the shower in the morning is probably not normal behavior. And when we realize it, now here's the thing. There's no middle-of-the-road solution. Now, people are still trying to find the middle-of-the-road solution. And there is none. It doesn't exist in AA. Half measures avail you nothing. Now, there is a middle-of-the-road solution, but it's your solution. It's not their solution. And it won't work. You can't do half of this. You have to do it all, and you have to give yourself 100%. So here's the deal. If you were in a position where life was becoming impossible, now you have to realize it to be able to act on it. So I think the gift that all of us have at one moment is we realize our lives are impossible. We realize we can't imagine anymore. It's a gift. And if you are in that position, then you'd passed into a region from which there's no return through human aid. Well, what were you doing when you passed into this region? You were already in that region, but you weren't aware of it. For a long time, we were in the region where we couldn't get help through human aid, but we didn't know it. And we kept trying to think our way through this. And at some point, we're given a gift in AA when I could see my life was impossible, and I had passed into a region for which there's no return through human aid. Now, telling somebody, I've done this, unfortunately, I made a lot of mistakes. I'll tell you, you're in a region that you passed through human aid. Well, that never helped them because they didn't believe me. You can't tell someone when they've passed into this region. It has to be something that they see themselves. That's why you can't work the first step for anybody, and you can't make them defeat it. But if they are, you have two alternatives. Now, there's only two doors in AA. Everybody's looking for the third door. You have two doors. One is go into the bitter end. Now, that's not good. It's not a good door. The second door is blotting out the consciousness. Go into the bitter end, here's what you have to do. Look at the word. Blot out the consciousness, the awareness of our intolerable situation. And those are the people who don't recover. They blot it out. And on one day, they're here crying and their lives are miserable. And then a week later, they're not here. They blotted it out. And I think that's a gift, too. I think, you know, people say I have to work the steps, first step 100%. Well, what do they really mean? I have to constantly understand that on my own, my situation's intolerable. On my own, I'm beyond human aid. And so how do I do that? In the morning when I wake up, I ask God for direction. I ask God for guidance all during the day. And working the steps is a humility of admitting that. And the other is accept spiritual help. So you have two doors. Go into the bitter end and die, or seek spiritual help. And so Sandy Beach tells a story. You ever see like the millionaires, you get to call somebody? You know, you don't know what's the right door, so you get to call somebody. So they bring the alcoholic in, and he says, this door is bitter end and die, or this is accept spiritual help. He says, can I make a call? And so he says, yeah, you call. So he calls up somebody. He says, how bad is the bitter end? You see, that's alcoholics. We don't see the two possibilities. And I think the key for people who work the steps is that they see it. They see it all the time. And the more they seek spiritual help, their life gets better. So they keep seeking more spiritual help. And they don't want to live without the steps and God. So it works together. And then we did this because we honestly wanted to. If you honestly want to, that's another thing they talk about, self-honesty. Do you honestly want to do this? And are you willing to make the effort? It won't happen by thinking it. It won't happen by realizing it. Are you going to make the effort? Now, we're going to read these two pages with Dr. Young and Roland Hazard. A certain American businessman, his name was Roland Hazard. This is 1932. He had ability, good sense, and high character. So I wrote, having ability, good sense, and high character won't overcome alcoholism, right? For years, he had floundered from one sanitarium to another. Notice the word floundered from one sanitarium to another. He was one of the richest men in America. He was from Providence, Rhode Island. His family owned all the shipping in the Northeast. And so they sent him to the best-known American psychiatrist. That didn't work. That was therapy. That was a human solution. Then he'd gone to Europe, placing himself in the care of the celebrated physician, the psychiatrist Dr. Young. Now, Joe and Charlie make a joke out of this, that he wanted to go to Freud, but Freud was too busy. And if they'd gone to Freud, we'd all be on the couch today. And he went to Dr. Young, and I think that was a God-inspired act because Dr. Young could see outside of himself, outside of the box, to offer help to us. So he went to Dr. Young in Switzerland. And he said, though experience had made him skeptical, well, his experience was he went to a lot of psychiatrists and it just didn't work. But he finished his treatment with unusual confidence. He spent a year with Dr. Young. His physical and mental condition were unusually good. Isn't that great? And here's the good thing. Above all, he believed he had acquired such a profound knowledge of the inner workings of his mind. Isn't that great for an alcoholic? You can acquire profound knowledge of the inner workings of an insane mind and its hidden springs that relapse was unthinkable. Now, this is in Bill's story, too. Remember, he had self-knowledge. He was going to fix this. He was never going to drink again. Well, Bill drank the next day, and Roland Hazard, you hear different stories, but he left Switzerland And he got drunk in a short time. Some people said he went to Paris, and somebody asked him for if he wanted a glass of wine. Some people said he got drunk on the train. Whatever it was, it didn't work. And in a very short time, he came back to Dr. Young. And he could give no satisfactory explanation for his fall. We don't really understand ourselves. We're defeated at 10 a.m., and we're not defeated at 4 p.m. How'd that happen? And because our mind tells us stories that aren't true, right? And we have something in our head that talks to us, and it's not true. And we have to, we learn in AA, the steps really are learning how not to listen to your mind. And I know it sounds crazy, but your mind will tell you things all day long. You could be sober a long time. And you have to just say, well, I'm going to let that train go through the station. You know, and I'm not going to act on it. And you laugh at yourself now. And you can see it. I still love this one guy. It's Bobby. You can listen to his talk, Vulture of the Bedpost. I think it's from 1979. And he says, when he wakes up, his mind says, where you been? Let's get going. And then he learned that when his mind talks to him, and I love this, he says, I say to it, what's your source of information? Now think about that. So when you get a fear, what's your source of information? Hello. You're getting resentful. What's your source? And when you do that, you pause and you question these your thoughts and your ideas, and you're letting God see the truth. So anyway, I got off for a while, so might not be much time for talking. So he returned to this doctor whom he admired. He admired this doctor and asked him point blank why he could not recover. He wished above all things to regain self-control. Now, what's the problem with an alcoholic regaining self-control? It's not going to work. Self-control was my problem. I can't control myself because anyway. He seemed quite rational, well-balanced with respect to other problems, yet he had no control whatever over alcohol. Why was this? And I wrote, the only solution is God in control, not self. He's in control of his life, right? And it became unmanageable. He could not manage his life sober so that he didn't drink. Anybody relate to that? He begged the doctor to tell him the whole truth. Boy, he was really down if he asked that, and he got it. And listen to this. In the doctor's judgment, this was the most brilliant psychiatrist in the world. He was utterly hopeless. And that's how we look, utterly hopeless. He could never regain his position. Society would have to place himself under lock or key or hire a bodyguard if he expected to live long. This was the great physician's opinion. Now, here's where God made his move to save us. And this is very powerful. It's this next few paragraphs are why we're here and saved today. But this man still lives, and he's a free man. He's free of the bondage itself. He does not need a bodyguard, nor is he confined. He can go anywhere in this earth where other free men might go without disaster. Now, here's a warning. There's always warnings. They give you the good news in the book, and then they give you a warning. Here's the warning later. Provided he remains willing to maintain a certain simple attitude. What's that simple attitude? It doesn't say. Think for yourself. Could it be that God's your director and you're not God, and you need God's power and knowledge of his will and the power to carry it out all the time, and you have to seek God constantly? Some of our alcoholic readers may think they can do without spiritual help. Anybody believe that? Of course, half the people read the book do. I don't know. I'm sorry I said that. But a lot of people think they can do without the spiritual help of this book. They think they can get their own spiritual help. And that may be true, but we need a spiritual pathway to God. And this is a treasure map. And a lot of people fight the idea of God. Well, I think they're just saying they can do without spiritual help. You ever heard anybody say, I don't want to hear about God. I don't want to talk about God. And so, and the other way you can think you don't need spiritual help, you don't want to work the steps. You know, you'll say step three, but you won't do step four. If you're not doing step four, it's because you don't believe that you need spiritual help. You still think you have a plan. So here it is. Here's the doctor. Here's why we're here today. He says, you have the mind of a chronic alcoholic. I've never seen one single case recover. Well, you can't recover if you have a chronic alcoholic mind, right? Because you can't see the truth about alcohol. I've never seen one single case recover where that state of mind existed to the extent it does in you. Our friend felt as though the gates of hell had closed in on him with a clang. So he said to the doctor, is there no exception? Here's Dr. Young. He says, yes. See, he was willing, with all of his knowledge of psychiatry and therapy and the mind, he says there is. He says exceptions to cases such as yours have been occurring since early times. Here and there, once in a while, alcoholics have what are called vital spiritual experiences. Now, they're going to define that in the big book in the second edition, and we'll read it next week on page 551 or whatever. A vital means necessary for life. Something happened to these people. They had a change in their personality. To me, these occurrences are phenomena. He couldn't explain them, but he could see it once in a while. It's nothing he did. He couldn't do it. It wasn't his power to do that. They appear to be in the nature of huge emotional displacements and rearrangements. Wow. Well, yeah, we have to change the way we see things. We have to change the way we react to things with God's help. And we have to question our thinking all the time. And it says, ideas, emotions, and attitudes, which were once the guiding force of the lives of these men, are suddenly cast aside. How's that a powerful way of saying it? All their old ideas. You have to let go of all your old ideas, remember? And each day I find new old ideas I need to let go of. Your emotion, your attitudes, which were once the guiding force of the lives of these men, your self-centered way you viewed the world and what you needed, you got to cast that aside. What you want doesn't matter. Which were once the guiding force of the lives of these men are cast to one side, and a completely new set of conception motives begin to dominate them. We change our personality. We change the way we see things. We change the way we want to react with God's help. And we learn that through our fourth step. We see our resentments and our fears and our harmful conduct. And then we see the exact nature of our wrongs, right? And we don't want to be that person anymore. In fact, I've been trying to produce some such emotional rearrangement with you. Now, the one other thing I forgot. He talks about the chronic alcoholic mind. Well, everybody in this room has a chronic alcoholic mind, right? So how does recovery work? Recovery works when you don't have an alcoholic mind anymore. And they talk about that on page 84 and 85. When you're in the 10th step, you don't have the mind of a chronic alcoholic. You have recovered. That's what they meant by recovered. You're recovered because your mind isn't functioning as a chronic alcoholic anymore. It has a spiritual fitness to it that helps you see the world differently. And if you read the paragraph on the top of 85, it's the recovered promises. The problem has been removed. Alcohol doesn't have any power over us anymore. We react sanely and normally. This is how we react in fit spiritual condition. If you're in fit spiritual condition and you don't have an alcoholic mind, you have a relationship with God that gives you the ability to see the truth about alcohol. And so, in fact, he said, with many individuals, the methods which I employed are successful, but I've never been successful with an alcoholic of your description. And so he didn't know how to fix Roland. But upon hearing this, our friend was somewhat relieved, for he reflected, after all, he's a good church member. Sure, and probably, remember Dr. Bob read the Bible every night and then got drunk. This hope, however, was destroyed by the doctors telling him that while his religious convictions were very good, and it's notice it's his religious convictions, like Eric said, it was his convictions, but convictions, I wrote, without action, the result's nil. And action gives you knowledge of God and faith. In his case, they did not spell the necessary vital spiritual experience. So I'm going to stop there. I don't know, every time I read these paragraphs, they're so powerful. And so what did happen to Roland? Well, I'll spend 1 minute. I never do anything in 1 minute. Roland Hazard left Switzerland in 1932, and he went to New York to the Calvary Church, where Reverend Shoemaker was the minister, and they had the Oxford Group, right? And he did the Oxford Group program, and he was able to quit drinking. And then in 1934, he and a man, I can't remember his name, went and got Ebbie Thatcher in Vermont, because they were going to lock him up. And they were going to put him in an asylum because he couldn't stay sober. And the guy that went with Rowan Hazard was the son of the judge in Vermont. And they knew Abby Thatcher because they all vacationed in Vermont together, Rowan Hazard, Abby Thatcher, and a guy named Bill Wilson. And then Rowan brought Abby back to New York, and Abby went to the Oxford Group. He was never sober. He was sober 60 days. He worked the steps, and he said, they told him, you have to witness. That was their final step, someone else. And he said, who can I find that's completely hopeless? And he thought of Bill W. And then in that morning, November 11th or 14th of 1934, he went to see Bill W. that morning, and we're here today. Powerful, isn't it? Okay, we'll end there, and we have some time to share. And then next week, we're going to read The Vital Spiritual Experience in the appendix, and we'll finish the chapter, and there's the solution. I hope this was helpful. Thank you.